Thank you, choir, for such a beautiful song. I love this. What can save us? It's only the blood of Jesus, which is the blood that we drink and confess that with his blood, we are saved. With his blood, we have eternal life. With the blood of Jesus Christ, we can say our prayer like this, our Heavenly Father. Without the blood, you cannot confess that he is my Father. So with the blood of Jesus Christ, it gave us the opportunity that we can say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, as it is in heaven, should be done on this earth. So this should be our prayer. Your will be done as it is in heaven, should be done on this earth today. So let's bow down before our Heavenly Father and ask him to come in my heart, to come and reveal thy word to me. Come and talk to me this morning, O Lord. I am here to listen from you. I am here to honor you. I am here to give my life to you. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we wash ourselves with the blood of Jesus Christ, and we ask your mercy and grace, and we ask your power, the power of Holy Spirit, and you said, I'm going to go and send another comforter, which means that Holy Spirit will going to come and lead us. So lead us today, O Lord, give us your revelation, give us your divine power. We submit ourselves into your hand, O Lord. Holy Spirit, come and reveal thyself unto us. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Irfan, and I am from the Garland Church, which is called Concordia Lutheran Church in Garland. So me and my family, we serve the Lord over there, and we worship together with our own language. Like, I am originally from Pakistan, and we have a few families from Pakistan, few families from India, and some of other families, they come around and we get together and we worship at evening time in Concordia Lutheran Church in Garland at 5 o'clock. So this is a little background from my side if you don't know me. So I am so thankful for Pastor Stace that he gave me the opportunity that I can come and proclaim the glory of God, proclaim his word, and share God's word with you. And I'm so thankful for the leadership of your church. And I ask God's mercy and blessing on the congregation that God will going to give you all these revelation, and you go closer and closer to God and get ready for his kingdom. We are all the people of God, and we are all belongs to a royal family. That's what, when you go and read in first book of the letter written by Peter, he says that you belongs to a royal family. So we are a royal family. If you go and read in the book of Exodus, also says to the people of Israel, they are also the royal family. So through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we sung in the choir, we come, originally we become Israelite through the blood of Jesus Christ. And our DNA change through the blood of Jesus Christ as we confess. So what a beautiful morning this is, that we are standing, we are sitting in the presence of God, and we are asking his mercy and his glory and his power. So last Sunday, we were in the fourth chapter of Daniel. And in the fourth chapter of Daniel, we learn about the dream which Nebuchadnezzar, the second dream that Nebuchadnezzar had it, and how Daniel interpret that dream and gave the revelation what Nebuchadnezzar was, the king Nebuchadnezzar from Babylonian kingdom was looking the answer. Daniel gave that answer to the king, and king humbled his heart, and he started rejoicing the king, and he was saying, glorify God. If you read the fourth chapter and the ends of the verses, it says, I glorify you, God, and there is a most high God who lives in heaven, and he is the king. The God of Daniel is the king of the king, and God of Daniel who created everything. So he rejoiced, and he repented, and he humbled his heart before God. And that's what end of the chapter was, the fourth chapter. And when you come into the fifth chapter is another king, the summary of the chapter is this. Belshazzar, you know, there is two names, Belteshazzar and Belshazzar. So these are the two names, Belteshazzar and Belshazzar, are the same root word, and it's mean that they are the gods of Baal. That was the highest god they have in Babylon. So they serve the same god. They gave the name Daniel, Belteshazzar, but it is Belshazzar. This is in chapter 5, and he is the king. He is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So the first four verses talk about the party. If you read this chapter, the chapter start with party. When you talk about party, it's giving you the head start that how I have to start this chapter. So it's chapter start with a party, and then in the party there is something happen in the party. Nobody wants that something fearful happen in the party. Everyone to enjoy the party, but over here the party was shocked, and the Belshazzar was revealed with something. And verse number 5 to 12 talks about Belshazzar was received some words from God. Daniel afterward, from chapter number 5, verse number 13 to 16, Daniel joined the party. And then Daniel revealed about God did to Nebuchadnezzar from verse number 17 to 21. God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, that's what God, Daniel was telling Belshazzar about what happened in the last chapter. And then Belshazzar's action came into verse number 22 to 23rd, and then the interpretation of that writing came on the wall, and then the end of the party. That is a little summary of this chapter. And that's how I break up the chapter. When I study the chapter, I just break up like this way. And I go and put these things into the things that I can understand what God wants to reveal us from this. So before we go, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 27, you will going to find verse number 6 and 7. It was already predicted by the prophet Jeremiah that these kingdoms are coming and they will going to take over. Look at that. I have given all these land into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar king, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the wild animal of the field to serve him. The verse number 7 says, all the nations shall serve him and his grandson until the time of the end comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. So this is the prediction already done by the prophet Jeremiah. Prophet Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah are the all prophets in 700 before the birth of Jesus Christ. So these are the predictions that was already given to the Israelite, that you should repent. Jeremiah was saying to Israel, Jewish and Israel, repent. There is a judgment coming upon you. So if you don't repent, the king of the Babylonian will going to come. The king of Mede and Persia will going to come and take over. The king Alexander will going to come and take over. The king of Roman government will going to come and take over. So that's what the first dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in the second chapter. He saw the big image, which was the head was gold, then his chest and arm was silver, and then the brass came, and then the legs were iron, and the feet was with the clay and the iron. So do you see that image? And it image give the future reference. The head was gold is talks about the Babylonian government. That's what we're going to see in this chapter, that the Babylonian government, Nebuchadnezzar is gone. He was dead in fourth chapter. Belshazzar is now the king. He is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. He at this time is the co-ruler with his father, Nabucius. So that was his father's name. So that's why when king saw this writing on the wall, and he called his magicians, and he called his wise men to come and read what was written on this wall. But they could not read what was written on the wall, and they brought Daniel. Daniel came into the request of the queen. The queen was the grand mother of that King Belshazzar. So the party was given. The king, by a king named Belshazzar, the uninvited guest showed up. Belshazzar has come to be the king, and he is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. That is the shortened version of the background who was Belshazzar is. Belshazzar is the king, the grandson of the king Nebuchadnezzar, and he was so proud, he was so elegant, and he throwed a party, and he invited all the people, all the nations, and he was in his palace, and the palace was surrounded with 300 feet walls around him, and the wall was wide, about 80 feet of wide that wall was, and the two chariot you can drive on that wall. So there was a surrounded with other things that nobody can enter into that city, they call Babylonian. So Babylonian was Babylonian king Belshazzar was so much proud in himself that he says, I am the king and I can do anything. Nobody can come and conquer me. Nobody can destroy me. I have conquered everything. I have all those things. But he was forgotten that God has already predicted in the book of Jeremiah that there is another king, because that was the image was seen by the king Nebuchadnezzar in his first dream. In his first dream, he saw that the head was gold, but the chest and arm was silver. Silver represent the Medo-Persian government. So Medo-Persian was raising up, and they are coming against the king, the kingdom of Babylon. So Babylonians were coming to end their kingdom. So this is the last chapter talks about the kingdom of Babylon. So when the party was going on, something was happened. Something astonished the king. Something shocked the king. And the king was terrible, and king was shaking, and his knees were shaking, and his body was shaking, and he's going out of his mind, and he was thinking, what kind of writing is this? What kind of the word that used on this wall was this? And he brought all his wise men to tell him what was written. You know, that was God's finger, and God's hand came and wrote these words. You know, if you go to the book of Exodus, the first time God wrote with his finger was the Ten Commandments, was given to Moses in the book of Exodus, and God wrote with his finger. This time again, the finger came from heaven, the hand came from heaven and wrote these things, and these are the warnings and the signs were given to Belshazzar. Repent, otherwise you will be going to die. And the Bible says in this chapter 5th that the same day King Belshazzar was killed by the Medo-Persian. The same day, same 24 hours, he was been taken by the Medo-Persian king. So the handwriting on the wall was Belshazzar gets a bad message from God. Knees were knocking together. The handwriting on the wall was, your numbers are up. Your time is up. If you go to the doctor and you get the report from doctor that you have a certain kind of disease and you have number of days to live, how will you feel in yourself? And the same thing, the king was, Belshazzar was feeling in himself, and that's what he was shaking, and he was fearful, and he was says, where should I go, and how should I find the rescue? Who will going to save me? But even though when he find out that what was written on the wall, he did not repent. He did not humble his heart. So today's message is this, that we should humble our heart. God will going to give us the spirit that we should humble our heart. If we don't humble our heart and we say, we love you, God, we are not surrendering to God, it doesn't make any sense in God's eyes. The first thing is this, that we should humble our heart. And humbling means that you should come and confess before God that I am a sinner and my sin are so anxious that I cannot stand before you, O Lord. And then Jesus said, my son, don't worry, I have already paid for you. I have been taken care of your sins. Now you are confessing your sins, and I am coming into between you and God, and I've been making a bridge between you. And he is our high mediator. He is our stronghold. He bind us together into the presence of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what the book of Acts says, that he got the name, which name is the highest name. And the book of Philippians says, every knee shall bow down before his name, even though in heaven, even those in on this earth and under the earth, all these come and bow down before the Jesus name of Jesus Christ. Because the book of Revelation chapter number 19 talks about that he is the king. He's the king of the king. He's the creator, and he's coming back to restore the kingdom. He's coming back to restore what we have lost in the beginning. We have lost the kingship. You remember in the first chapter of the book of Genesis talk about that Satan came to human, and human gave his authority to Satan, to bow down before Satan, and he rebelled against God, and the kingship is given to Satan. And that's why in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke chapter number 4, and the book of Matthew and the book of Luke chapter number 4, Jesus comes in the action, and he was led into the wilderness, and there come a Satan, and Satan said, if you bow down before me and all these kingdom, I will give it to you. And Jesus said, there is written that you should only bow down before your heavenly Father and worship his name. And he rebuked him and he kicked him off. And that is the time that God took that possession through Jesus Christ. And on the cross, that's what Jesus said, it is finished. It has given to you. It is for you that you confess your sin and claim your kingship. So come to the book of Daniel. So many times people refuse to believe God coming judgment. When you see this time, so many people says, oh, since I was born, I was hearing that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. But I haven't seen all those things that Jesus did not came yet. So these things, you know, corrupt our mind, corrupt our thoughts. These things change our things. These things comes and confuse us. These things comes and disturbs us. So the king Belshazzar was confused at that time, and he was not thinking that somebody will going to come and take over my possession. He was not thinking, because he says, I was surrounded with my palace, with my soldiers, with all those things. Nobody can come inside. But you know, God has already predicted that the king from Persia and king from Medo-Persia will going to come. Darius the king and Cyrus the king. If you read the book of Isaiah chapter number 45, even talk about that the king Cyrus is coming. Before 150 years of that thing happened, it was already predicted by the book of by the prophet Isaiah. He says the king Cyrus will going to come and take over, and all those things will be happen. So God is giving us the warning and the signs the same nowadays. He says, when you see all those things in the book of Matthew chapter number 24 and in Luke chapter number 21, and if you go and read Mark chapter number 13, it's talk about all the signs of the end days. They are coming. They are coming. We are living into the end days. And last time I said, when the end days started, the end days started when the Holy Spirit came. The day of the Pentecost started, that we are started living into the ends of the day. Since the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years plus years ago, that we are living. Now we are coming very close to that. And I was reading online, the news was saying in this July, the end of the July, there will be another blood moon coming on the sky, in the sky. And it will be the longer lunar moon in the history, and it's going to stay for 2 hours. It never happened before, folks. It never happened in the past. In the past, if you studied about the blood moons, it's all about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. The longest it goes for 45 minutes, but this time it's coming to stay for 1 hour and 53 minutes. Remember that these are the signs, and Jesus Christ specially said, when you see these signs, be alarmed, be on your toes, that I am standing by the door and I am coming to receive my church. And look at the Daniel chapter. The king was not recognized the judgment, and the things was written, mine, mine, tickle, praise. So the mine, mine mean your time is up. The tickle mean that your kingdom will be taken away. And the Paris mean that the other kings are coming and they will going to take over. It's not end by the Medo-Persian. After the Medo-Persian, another king is coming. After the another king, the Roman emperor is coming. You remember when Jesus came, the Roman emperor was ruling on the earth. So Romans ruled the earth for 500 years. So that's what all these things. And Daniel know that the end of the kingdom is at hand. 70 years was passed away. You know, when Daniel came into the exile brought by the king Nebuchadnezzar, he was 15 years old, and the Daniel was a young man, and king was old. But now the things were changed. Belshazzar was young, and Daniel was about 70 to 80 years old. And look at the things change. How the things change. He was young when he was brought into the exile, but he stayed all these years into that exile, and still his faith was strong. Still he was committed to God. Still he was standing before God. Still he's praying for his nation. Still he's standing over there and asking God's mercy. Have mercy on these people. Let them take back to their land. And you know, in the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel, whatever he prayed, it come to the accomplish. It happened. You know, the King Cyrus order in the sixth chapter. I will going to talk next Sunday about the sixth chapter. But stick with this. He did not repent. And your Bible and my Bible says, end of the chapter, that the same night the King Belshazzar was killed, and the Medo-Persian took over all that things. So what it means to us is this. Medo-Persian, the name Darius, you see, Persian leader was named Cyrus. And in 24 hours, Darius and Cyrus attacked together, and they killed the king and took all the city. So it was happened. You know, it is giving us the alarms and the vision and the dreams. And Jesus said, when you see all these seasons coming to you, when you see these things happen to you, be on alert. I am at the door. I am coming to receive you. I'm coming to receive my bride. I'm coming to receive my church. I'm coming for the church. I'm not coming for all the nations. I'm just coming for the church. So the church is not ready, then we are stopping Jesus to come into the earth. It is not that Jesus is not ready. Jesus is ready, but he's giving us a grace and mercy and the time that we can repent, that we will totally come to Jesus Christ. We totally confess before him. We totally commit ourselves before him. There's nothing that we can live a life like a dual citizenship, that we're going to live life like or according to others, and then we do all things. And that is not what Jesus is looking towards the church. Church should be the pure. That's what the Daniel theme is. How to live a pure life. How you become a pure. If you don't live a pure life, you will be not accepted in God's eyes, because he cannot see the sin, and he will going to say, come, my beloved, it's okay. It will be not okay. Remember the parable of Jesus Christ. He will going to separate sheep and goats when he will going to come. Remember that. The sheep and the goat is a different story about that. The sheep has a different kind of mentality, thoughts and ideas. Goat has a different kind of thought and idea. Goat is like a crazy thing, but the sheep is like a humbling animal. So Jesus wants us to be like a sheep, not like a goat, that we can do what we want to do. We can eat what we want to eat. That's what Daniel refused to eat, the food of the riches, the life of luxury life, the life that the style that today's world is looking. Look at if we are living in America, we think we are secure. Nobody will going to attack us. We have a great force in our hand. We have a great technology ahead. But remember, 9/11, something happened, you know. These are the alarms that God is telling us. Repent, I am coming. Repent, I am giving you the time. Oh, church, this is the time that we have to wake up. And the book of Daniel is a great book to give us a head start, how we should ready ourselves, how we should be stand before God. You know, when Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, what did God said to them? Wear your shoes, wear your clothes, and be ready, stay on your toes. And the same night, they were taken out from the Egyptian government, and they went out. And the Bible says their shoes were not torn, their clothes were not torn, they were not dead for 40 years. God, the Father, was taking care of them. The Bible says the cloud come at the daytime, and the evening time fire come and take over them and take care of them. And then the food was provided, and the food was come from every day. The fresh fruit come, food come from heaven. So remember, God will going to take care of you. Daniel was in exile, and he refused to eat all those luxury things. That's what God wants us to today. That if you want to see the revelation, if you want to know your future, then you should repent and give yourself to the Lord. And God said, I will going to send my power, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you read John chapter number 16, verse number 13 and 14, and it says, when the Spirit of the Lord will going to come, it will going to reveal all the secrets, and it will going to give you all the revelation, and it will guide you, and it will teach you, and it will lead you to the righteous place, to the righteousness of God. It will not our thoughts, it will not our deeds, it will not our things that we should do. It's all by the Spirit of Holy, by the Spirit of God, and its name is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and convince you. Holy Spirit, come and convict you. Holy Spirit, come and lead you. Holy Spirit, come and guide you. Holy Spirit, come and teach you. Holy Spirit, come and give you all the revelation. So this is the day that we should understand that where I am standing today. This is a time that I should repent, and I should give my life to the Lord and say Him, Lord, I am here. I confess my sin. I am a sinner. I cannot stand before you. I thank God that you loved so much that you sent your only begotten Son, and He gave His Son, His only Son for us, that we may be redeemed, and be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, if you go and study about the word redeem, redeem is the two word, re and deem. Re mean that you go back and look what happened. Where you go back? Look at the Adam. What was Adam? Adam was created without sin. He was pure. And that's what redeem mean. You are taken second time. You are taken second time. You are given a second chance. He is our Redeemer. He is giving us a second chance that we can repent and stand before Him. So Belshazzar did not repent, and he was killed. So these are the application. Let us realize that some people ignore the coming of judgment by God. Unbelievers, great white throne, all were standing, and the believers are also standing before the judgment of Christ. Let us understand that some only go to God when there is a problem. You know, when we see some kind of problem, we see some bad news, when we see some bad report from the doctor, we always come, oh, I am in that position. Now I have to seek God. You know, that's what the problem in our human life is, that we should be always in the same page. Lord, even we die or we live, it's all because of you. That's what Paul says. He says, my living is good, and if I die, it is also, it will be good for me, because I will going to go into the presence of God. Even I am living on this earth, I am living in the presence of God. Even I am dying, and I'm going to go into the presence of God. So let us realize that God rules the world. So He is the original ruler. He is in control. He is doing all those things, and these things coming to action, that we may come into the repentance. And look at the book Galatians. It's not in chapter 4. It is chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. So did you see the book of Galatians? Paul writes to the church, and this letter was written to the churches that be on your toes. Whatever you sow, that will you going to reap it. So whatever you are doing, that will come into the action, into the end time. So believer, this is the time that we should realize where I am standing, what I am sowing, and what I am going to reap in my future. How I am going to stand before the God. Do I have the right mind? Do I have the right thought? Do I have right thinking? Did I confess my sins? And if I have confessed my sins in church, and when I'm going to go out of the church, how I'm going to live my life, how I'm going to be an example for others, how I'm going to testify my life before others, how I'm going to say to the Muslims, to the Hindus, to the non-believers, to the unbelievers, that how I am living my life, because they will going to see your character, your actions, your words, your living styles, and then they will going to say, yes, he is the original child of God. And that's what Daniel proves. Daniel proves that I am a child of God. And that's what we supposed to do. As Paul says, you are a child of God. As Jesus said in book of John, chapter number, very first, verse number 12 and 13 says, whenever you believe, I'll give you the right to become my sons and daughter. We are the sons and daughter. Think about that. If you are a son and a daughter, then Jesus said, if you love me, then follow my word. Amen. Let's think about this today and think about that I am ready for his kingdom. If I'll be in exile, how I will going to handle all that exile? I'm going to live the life like Daniel lived. I'm going to live the life that Jesus lived. I'm going to live the life that Paul lived. I'm going to live the life that the book of Revelation written by John, the disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live in that, because John, who wrote Revelation, also lived in exile. When you live in exile, revelation always comes at that time. In Jesus' name, God bless you.